This show is brought to you by BigAndTallMart.com. BigAndTallMart.com is your number one source for all things big and tall. From licensed t-shirts to casual wear and everything in between, BigAndTallMart.com has you covered. Use promo code GEEK10 on checkout to save 10% on orders $50 or more. BigAndTallMart.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Hey guys, welcome back to our second part of the E3 The Prototype episode. I am Jamie JJ Johnston, and over the last day since we recorded part one, I have started to get a sinus cold, so if I sound nasally today, I am sorry. If I die, I'm even more sorry. But it's okay, because I'm joined by...
Mike Dodd!
Mike Dodd, who has had a sex change, apparently.
Evidently! Ha 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 ha!
You need to talk like that for the whole show now.
I think I'd die.
So we're back to talk about the other half of our the lineup that was at E3. We ended off with halfway through the Microsoft games list. We're not going to talk about what games we played because it's literally been a day. So, yeah. We're just going to get right into it.
I'm actually thinking, what the hell have I been playing since last time we talked? I think I played some Titanfall.
I think I got sick and then tried to sleep it off, hoping I could get rid of it in a day. Didn't work, but it hasn't escalated like my girlfriend's sinus cold was, so I know what I didn't do. I didn't take whiskey last night. I was supposed to take a couple shots of whiskey. That always knocks it out of me. Anyway, I'm not an alcoholic, okay? It's just, it really does help. So we left off with, I actually marked all this stuff. I think we were talking about the Master Chief Collection and, Killer Instinct. So next on the list, have you been a fan of the Dragon Age games?
Kind of, and I know where this is going. We're going to be talking about Dragon Age Inquisition. I'm interested because it's BioWare and I haven't played a shitty game from them yet.
See, I never really got into the Dragon Age games. I was okay with watching them. I didn't really like how their combat and everything was. Like, it's good, but it wasn't something that was going to pull me away from the games that I was playing at the time. And Tiffany is constantly trying to make me play the series, but I said I've watched somebody play through both games, so I don't have an urge to actually play them now. But Dragon Age Inquisition, from the gameplay that they showed, which I think was just an alpha build, it looked really good, like really interactive, and there was fucking dragons.
The last time I went to PAX, actually, they were showing off stuff for Dragon Age Inquisition. I went to PAX East last, I think it was last year. It's enough to get me interested, and the fact that, like you said, yeah, they're showing off actual dragons now. Combat seems a little bit more fun than it has been previously.
Like, as far as I know, there was dragons in the past one, but they said in the interview that I was watching with the gameplay that there's going to be a hell of a lot more dragons. You know, the thing that Dragon Age was missing was lots of dragons. It's kind of in the title, so kind of excited. I mean, I'll definitely try it out, because from what I saw in the alpha, it actually looks pretty phenomenal. And like I said, I think that trailer of gameplay was just an alpha, so if that's their alpha, I'm excited, because they've gotten pretty far with it. Next up, this pissed me off whenever I heard about it, because this is Capcom literally making fun of themselves. Dead Rising 3 DLC, it's called...
Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition...
EX plus Alpha.
It is so much fun. I have beaten this game, like, multiple times. You know what? I wonder if it should have been part of the Dead Rising 3 Seasons Pass or offered you at least a significant discount on it. Like, say, make it $5 instead of $10.
It wasn't even part of the Season Pass?
It wasn't, surprisingly.
That's not cool.
But it was fun as hell, though. Holy shit.
From everything I saw, yeah, it looks really fun. I think it's already available, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was out literally that morning, or sorry, that afternoon for people. I got a copy of it. And yeah, It's this arcade style brawler. Basically, think of like Final Fight, but with Dead Rising crap. And you might have to collect people. You may have maybe bash a couple of generators, kill certain types of zombies. In the end, you fight a zombified M. Bison and the Shadow Akuma things called Shadow Bosses. And you play as the four different characters, although there's actually 20 in the game, basically. The four characters, and they get five costumes each. Playing as Sigma from Mega Man X is so broken, it's fun. you play as Felicia from Darkstalkers, although it's Nick in the costume instead of Annie. You play Regina from Dino Stalkers, some chick from Breath of Fire. I'm really surprised they didn't put any Resident Evil in there, actually. I mean, it would have been cool if you could play the game as, like, Nemesis or Leon or something like that. However, the shittiest costume, or sorry, the shittiest character I found was actually Frank West. Frank West got friggin' ripped off in this game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like his one costume, which is the Servbot Frank, really sucks, and him as Hagar really sucks. Like, and all the achievements are pretty easy to get. I'm only missing the multiplayer ones, but it's a really fun time, though. It's something, I mean, I think it's easily worth $10.
Yeah, so if you haven't gotten it already by the time of this episode, since it is already out, maybe go check it out.
Totally recommend it.
The only thing that I hate about it is that straight up Capcom knows that its fucking DLC is bullshit because it did all that in the title. Once again, Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition EX Plus Alpha Prime.
That's awesome. See, at least they're in on the joke, and there's a lot of hidden Capcom references in there. Like, you have to find these arcade machines. There's, like, Ghouls and Ghosts, Captain Commando.
Can you actually play them?
No, but aww, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody finds something somewhere down the road, like, that's hidden in this game. Although, being able to play as a different characters like Captain Commando is pretty badass, though.
Now, is this like some of the other, like, is it a standalone DLC that you can actually play it without having the game?
As far as I know, you need Dead Rising 3 with it.
Oh, okay.
But, like I said, totally worth it.
Anyway, next up, I believe this is going to be an Xbox One exclusive, is another Crackdown game. Crackdown 3, or it might just be labeled Crackdown, I'm not sure.
I think it's a remake of the first game, and I could honestly give a fuck less.
I don't know.
I hated Crackdown.
The trailer looked cool. I mean, the Crackdown games, they were fun. I got them, like, I played them from renting them, so I don't know. I was satisfied with what I paid, which was only, like, $10 to rent them, so I don't know. It's another Crackdown game. So for people that are excited for, like, loved Crackdown, you got another one coming. And it's going to be in HD. New gen. Next up, I never played the first one. And I'm kind of ashamed of it because everyone loved it so much. And I just didn't have the money at the time. I should really go pick it up. But there's another one coming. Rise of the Tomb Raider. So it's Tomb Raider 2. With the new generation Tomb Raider anyway. And they really just showed a trailer. Wasn't any gameplay or anything, but it was basically a hype train trailer. You saw it, right?
Yes, yes.
And you've played the first one.
Oh, yeah. Love the first one. This one, I'm really interested in. I'm actually really hoping it really builds upon the first game and gives us a little bit more of Lara, not as a sex object, actually her as a fully fleshed out character. I'm looking forward to this. This could be really friggin' cool.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's because the first one's kind of like how she
became as tough as she is.
Yeah, and this one's starting to branch into how she is actually going to become like the Tomb Raider character that we know from the past. So hopefully it's really good. I mean, they didn't show gameplay yet, so I don't know when that's coming out. I believe this is another Xbox One exclusive, Fantasia. It's a music rhythm game that's going to use the Kinect 2.0, and it looks like you're conducting music.
This could be really interesting depending on how accurate it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, if it's really accurate, then cool. If not, you know, the Kinect isn't always perfect. Let's just say that. So, I mean, it could be really cool. I know my girlfriend likes rhythm-based games, so she was kind of excited for if it actually works. Because she loves music and all the background stuff of that, like conducting it and all that. So
I only saw one or two games this E3 that had Kinect in them. And that is such a change, and I'm so happy for it.
Me too. It was almost like they were just like, you know what? We really need to lay the fuck off of the Kinect bit. And it was actually something I noticed earlier last week. You know that commercial with Jesse Pinkman? I don't remember the actual name of the actor because I'm always better with names of characters.
Aaron Paul, yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Paul, that's the one. He's in a commercial where he basically says Kinect on, or Xbox on, and stuff like that. And it was turning on people's Xboxes. And the funny thing about that is, this entire commercial is all about the Kinect, right? And at the very end of the commercial, they advertise the Xbox One bundle without Kinect, the $399 no Kinect bundle. It's like, really? You just advertised for the Kinect uses and then give us the bundle that's without it. I don't know. Microsoft's crazy.
One of the things, I think the problem with Kinect is they never knew what to do with it. And that's a real shame, because Kinect could have been awesome. I mean, as demonstrated by games like Dance Central, Fantasia is going to be fantastic. Just Dance, despite being not the most accurate dancing game on the market, it's more of a party game than it is anything.
Well, the thing is I see Microsoft kind of wanting to revolutionize the world and make things more interactable, you know, with voice commands and all that. But you're doing it through a video game console, and people just want to play their damn games. I know some people get a lot of use out of it, but most people that I know that have an Xbox One, myself included, don't give a shit. Most of my friends that I convinced to get an Xbox One to play Titanfall with me, they actually unhooked their Kinect because it caused more issues than anything for them.
Really?
Mostly because, well, they're in the same house, and they have a very large living room, so they have their two Xbox Ones and TVs on opposite sides of the room. So if one person gives it an Xbox command, it does it on both of them. So it fucks them up. So they unhooked both their Kinects because they're like, this is fucking stupid. That's an isolated situation, but, I mean, you'd think they would have some sort of contingency of, like, maybe it only recognizes specific voices, or I don't know.
Well, I'm actually kind of surprised that it didn't, actually, because for mine, my Kinect can normally tell between me and Blair, but there are times she can override me, too. So, yeah, I guess it's...
Well, I mean, it's if Aaron and Paul can turn on your Xbox, I think it doesn't have a lot of voice recognition.
See, it's something that they could fix with, like, a software patch easy, so yeah, hopefully probably. They will.
Next up, we got Fable Legends. So it's a new Fable game. I'm not entirely sure.
I kind of like the look of this one, but at the same time, it's still who gives a flying fuck.
It doesn't look like a traditional Fable. Like it, the only thing they really showed off that I saw was a 5-player multiplayer where it's 4 versus 1, 4 people being heroes that are of each path of the Fable. So there's like the will guy, the strength guy, etc., etc. And then the bad the person that's playing the bad guy has to basically play an RTS to stop them. Now, I don't know if that's the standalone game there, or if there is supposed to be a single player.
I'm pretty sure there is. It's probably like drop-in, drop-out co-op. Kind of like how Dead Rising 3 is. You can go through that game with someone, and they can join any time they want, or you can finish it solo.
But see, the thing is if that's how it is, are you gonna be, you're gonna be playing one of those four characters then,
yeah.
Which means they've taken away the customization of building a Fable character whatever way you want it, with a, maybe partial willpower, partial strength, or full willpower with a little bit of strength, or whatever. You're gonna be playing a set character with set abilities, which, I mean, they might be customizable on their own, but that's not what Fable was, so I don't know.
See, Fable to me has never delivered what Peter Molyneux has promised.
Oh, no, because he fucking hypes shit up.
He's like, Fable will make you instantly more attractive to the opposite sex and make you more fertile.
That's
no.
Pretty much what he says. Like, yeah. He is the ultimate hype train troll. Like, he's, like, so impressed with his own games and doesn't realize what he's saying, I think. I don't know. He's crazy. Next up, Dragon Ball Xenoverse XV or 25 or 15. Not sure if it's XV or 15. It's going to be for Xbox One and PS4, I believe. Although I think it was shown off Microsoft. I'm not sure. Apparently they're looking to simplify the combo system compared to the last games. So less, so button mashing might be easier. I don't fucking know.
See, I'd like to know why they can never take a system from, like, say, Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, which relies more or less on timing and whatnot, and just make it really simple that way, instead of making this insane button press combination. I don't know. I mean, for me, combos in Dragon Ball Z games have never turned out well. Honestly, I find a beam exploit and just use the shit out of it.
Yeah, most people do. I mean, I've played them the odd time from renting them just to see what they're like. And usually it's you find the cheapest fucking move and spam it over and over and over. One thing that I found interesting, they were introducing a new character at the very end, and it looked like Super Saiyan God Trunks, maybe? I'm not sure. And if you're not familiar with the Super Saiyan levels, well, that's pretty much the maximum.
Yeah, it's basically the new Super Saiyan level from Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods, which comes out in theaters this August. Though it's been out in Japan for a while.
Which gives them red hair now.
And they don't look like Super Saiyan level 4s, which they were, where they got black hair and they got red hair in their red
funky hair on their chests and got their tail back and.
I don't know.
I mean, it kind of made sense of how they got that, like, because they had to turn into the giant monkey and then gain control of it, so they were, like, a mini monkey, but at the same time, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't suck, but, I don't know. I mean, the Dragon Ball Z game's quality has really been going down the last couple of years. The last game, what the hell was it called? Battle of Z or something? Fucking
terrible. There's so many
different
crazy names for the Dragon Ball games.
The best that series has ever been was on the PS2 in 2008. Yeah, 2008, 2007, it was Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3 or Raging Blast 1. Raging Blast 2.
It was a Japanese Super Nintendo one.
See, I wasn't a huge fan of those, but then again, I want, you know, everything, so to speak. I like the fact that, at least with Budokai Tenkaichi 3, you got 150 characters.
Yeah.
Admittedly, they were pretty much all palette swaps when you really look at them, but still, it was still fun being able to play as all these different characters. I liked that, and it was really well voice acted for what you can expect from it. I don't know, I just thought it was the superior game. It's the only Dragon Ball Z game I think I still have. I sold off all my other ones, because this is the only one that's really worth playing.
Next up, this caused so much media controversy. If you haven't heard about it, I'll be surprised. Project Spark. Game looks okay, but near the end of their trailer, they had fucking Conker come up and fucking saw the title in half, which made everybody think, oh, there's gonna be a Conker game, the Project Spark thing didn't really matter. And then he says the quote, I haven't been in a game in 10 years. I guess we'll make our own. Which is just an advertisement for Project Spark. It's so many people got pissed off with that. Like, there is so much internet rage. And I love it. Like,
see, I don't see why they don't just turn Conker into an Xbox Live title. I mean, you don't have to throw that huge budget into a full retail release. Give us a good DLC title and let people be done with it. I mean,
fuck that. Conker deserves a new goddamn game with his sassy fucking vulgarness.
But you need to see if it's going to sell first, because in essence, I think you could draw a comparison between Conker and Duke Nukem. Both of these characters rely on that potty humor. Both are, you know.
Except Duke's humor was more an adult humor in the past. Conker's humor is just fucking toilet humor. Which,
Duke Nukem could play with shit in Duke Nukem Forever.
So, Conker fights a giant ship monster.
So
boss.
I'm saying they are comparable.
I guess.
And I wonder if developers or if Rare's like, I don't know. That's why I'm saying dump a couple million dollars into putting together a decent DLC title, like do it for the summer of arcade next year and see how well it does. If it does well, then make it a full retail release and give people something extra who bought this particular title. Maybe they unlock another character in the full retail release or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, Rare's sitting on, like, fucking at least two, no, three fucking huge titles that they have a large fan base waiting for. They got Conker, they got Banjo, and they got Battletoads. These three could easily be made either a remake, a fucking new game, whatever.
Well, they're also sitting on... They're also sitting on Jet Force Gemini. They're also sitting on... I would like to see another Perfect Dark game.
And
just not,
I don't know. The first
stupid
one was great. The one for, what was it, Xbox or Xbox 360?
Xbox 360.
It was okay, but it was not...
It's because the levels were designed like shit, man, because there was so much space between bad guys. It was hard to find anything to do.
Yeah, I mean... But anyway. On to the next game. This was just a trailer, which... It intrigued me because of dragons. It's called Scalebound. Basically, it's all speculation since it was a trailer. You might be playing as a character that is able to wield swords, bows, and magic, and is able to envelop himself in some sort of dragon armor. And he has a dragon friend. Because he was basically, the trailer was a guy being chased by a giant monster. He runs through a forest and winds up running into a dragon, and you're like, oh, now this guy's really fucked. And then he winks at the dragon tackles the other monster, and then he helps the dragon kill the monster, and then a giant fucking hydra comes out, and him and like five other people with their dragons go to attack it. So, no idea what the gameplay is going to be like, but I mean, you throw dragons, dragon armor, and awesome stuff like that. I'm interested. Did you saw the trailer?
Nah,
you didn't care.
Didn't care. Not in the least. I'm sorry.
You're not as like super bonered about dragons as I am.
I do not get wood over dragons. I'm sorry.
But they're awesome. next up, we all have seen stuff about this before, but The Division. The way I see it is Destiny is boasting the MMO FPS kind of thing, and The Division is like an MMO TPS, like third-person shooter. Looks really good. I mean, they showed more gameplay.
I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested. I'm as interested in this as I am in Destiny, so...
See, another Tom Clancy title that got shown off was Rainbow Six Siege. I'm more interested in that as opposed to the Division.
See, I don't know. The way I see Rainbow Six Siege is... Like, it depends if there's going to be a single player. Like, they showed a multiplayer, and it was heavily scripted, which sounded awesome and all that. It was watching something really cool because they had it all scripted. But no actual match will be like that online, ever. You will never have that much of an intense, like, choreographed moment. You might have things similar, but I mean, generally, the online public will run around with a shotgun just being crazy and die or kill everyone. Like, it's just not going to be that epic. I mean, I am excited because Rainbow Six hasn't had a good game in a while, in my opinion. I did not like the Vegas series.
I didn't mind them, but they felt a little mindless. Like, they felt too easy. I mean...
They felt like a traditional shooter.
Yeah, because...
It didn't feel like Rainbow Six.
Yeah, it didn't feel like your team really didn't matter. In fact, I just soloed most things 9 times out of 10. Or, hey, put up a wall of bullets here and I'll sneak around the back. It never felt truly strategic. I remember playing games like Rainbow Six Rogue Spear and playing, like, Raven Shield. And those games, if you played it right, they could be really friggin' strategic and could be really, really, really fun.
One thing I noticed about this is the first game that used to be a Tom Clancy game that does not have Tom Clancy in the title now. I know he died, but I figured they would have kept his legacy by continually calling all of them Tom. Like, it's still Tom Clancy's The Division, but it was not Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. It just popped up with Rainbow Six Siege. So, really interested as to why that is.
I wonder if it was just kind of an oversight, because...
Maybe.
Because, I mean, as far as I know, Splinter Cell was still called Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Yeah,
when the last game came out.
For sure.
Yeah.
But which, I mean, I don't know.
Which I would have much rather had another Splinter Cell this year. But,
Yeah, but if you kick them out too quickly, then you're going to end up lowering the quality, right? So yeah. maybe the next year after. Another game, Witcher 3, Wild Hunt. It looks like another Witcher game. I mean...
Which means it will be awesome, but you got to have the time to sink into it.
Yeah, both the time to sink into it, and it has to be that style, your style of game. I haven't played the first two Witchers. I've been intrigued by them. I haven't had time. I haven't picked them up either, so they're not sitting in my stack of unplayed games, but...
I'm interested because, to me, it's like uber-awesome Skyrim, but at the same time, it took me a lot to get into a game like Skyrim, so maybe I'll take the plunge with The Witcher 3. Actually, when is that supposed to come out?
I am honestly not sure. I didn't write any of the dates because a lot of the E3 stuff didn't show dates. Okay. Some of them did, some of them didn't. So, or most of them didn't, some of them did. So I just kind of didn't write that down with all my notes here. So
that's fine.
I figure we're talking about the games that people are interested in the idea, then they can go look up. Whether it has a date announced yet or not. I mean, it looked like it was either an alpha or possibly an early beta for the gameplay they were showing. So, this game here, the next one, is probably something that has gotten me the most excited for the Microsoft E3, which, I mean, we've said a lot of really good games, so, I mean, I'm excited for a lot of things. But this one, it's called Sunset Overdrive.
See, I knew nothing about this until they showed the trailer and the gameplay. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a zombie-killing video game that knows it's a video game. Like, the trailer straight up, at one point, he's just like, it's a video game. It's a very arcadey and artistic for its art style and for how the game plays. So, I mean, like, an example for weapons, there's a flaming teddy bear missile launcher. So if that kind of sums it up, you can kind of do moves that you could do in Tony Hawk, where you could rail grind around the arena. It's very goofy, very fun. I don't know, what else can we say about it? It just looks really, really addictively fun.
It's got that weird self-aware humor about it. And I think that's what's going to sell. It's going to be a lot of its personality. So I'm really looking forward to it.
We don't really have any games nowadays that just know that they're a game and they're meant to be fun. Like, you get all these different reviewers always being like, well, you know, this isn't realistic and blah, blah, blah. But back in the day, it was like, it wasn't realistic for the point of not being realistic. It was a fucking video game. So this one straight up is just like, it's a goddamn video game. They straight up say it in the trailer, which I'll probably post that trailer on the Facebook page for anyone that can't find it on their own, because it's a really good trailer. I enjoyed it. Oh yeah, the next one. I didn't get a lot of information about this one. It was called Inside.
It looks like the spiritual successor to Limbo. It looks really cool.
It's like an artistic thriller. It's got side-scrolling elements. I don't have a lot of info about it because it was a trailer and I was like, couldn't really understand what it was from the trailer, which means it's not a good trailer if you don't know what the hell is happening. But I mean, it was an intriguing trailer because it was set in very dark tones and it looked like some sort of thriller video game. So, there is another game called Phantom Dust,
which is evidently a remake. I don't know anything about this one at all.
Neither do I. I couldn't find anything about it. It was just like, that it's a remake of the first one, and I'm like, I don't remember a Phantom Dust in the past, so...
The name sounds familiar, but it's one of those... It's just one of those names and titles, I think, that sounds generically cool. And I think that's pretty much all... Like I said, it sounds familiar, but I can't even tell you whether I've actually heard of it or not.
I think this is the only game on the list that I didn't get any information from looking up, which is unfortunate. My bad. If you're interested, or if you played the original, maybe go on the Facebook page and link us some information or maybe gameplay videos or something of the older one so we know what the heck it is. And then lastly, they showed a very artistic trailer. It was very moving. Ori and the Blind Forest. It looks very, very pretty.
This looks amazing.
It's very artistic, very smooth. It's like a side-scrolling platformer with combat. I honestly don't even know how to explain it. It just looked beautiful. Like, both from an art standpoint and, well, gameplay-wise, I don't know a lot because the trailer didn't show a lot of the combat, but I don't know. It looks very, very pretty. I can leave it at that, really. You got anything to say about it?
I think it looks like a Miyazaki film with combat, and it looks really cool.
That's a very good way to put it. So that's all for Microsoft that I could find, or, well, there might be the odd Microsoft one in Sony. I don't know. Like I said in the last episode, a lot of them got jumbled up because they are cross-platform, or I might have written it in the wrong spot. Oops. So we'll move on to Sony now. Clearly this was going to come out, Little Big Planet 3, for PS4 only, or I think... I don't think it's on PS3.
Actually, I think it is, actually.
Son of a bitch. Why do they have to do that? Stop making things for the old generation consoles. You can put more time and effort into not porting them.
Well, you see, someone actually made a really good argument for this today on my Facebook, actually. There is such a huge install base for the older generation, it makes sense to still support it for at least a couple of years. Because...
Well, I mean, for PS2, they did that for fucking 10 extra years. Because they were making money on it. So, yeah, it makes sense. But at the same time, when you have a brand new game that you're, like, hoping will sell a console, you can put more time, effort, and less limitations on it if you only make it for the new console. But I guess Little Big Planet is more supposed to be accessible to everyone. So it does make sense.
I mean, I would see this console generation... I don't think you'll start to see exclusive-only titles for at least probably, like, a year, year and a half.
Well, there's already a couple of them, so... But, I mean, that's technically still next year.
Yeah.
Because most of this is all 2015. Unfortunately, 2014 is gonna be kind of boring. Just throwing that out there. So, yeah, there's... This Little Big Planet version is gonna have 4 versions of Sackboy... Well, sack characters, I guess. So, sack boy, sack dog, a sack bird, sack toggle, I think they called him. It was a toggle? I don't know. Anyway, so on to the next game. I mean, it's Little Big Planet. It's cute. It's fun. It's kind of like the Mario of Sony. You just know that it's going to be cute and fun. Do you have a fan on in the background?
Yeah, sorry.
It randomly picked up in audio. I can hear it now. I couldn't hear it before. Anyway, this one, did we already talk about it? No Man's Sky. Maybe we might have talked before we recorded the first.
It's dinosaurs and spaceships, and I don't know a whole lot more beyond that. Well, but I mean, it looks cool.
The trailer, it was like very colorful. It's a first-person discovery shooter. Has X-Wing style flight shooting. You can leave and enter your fighter, leave the planet, re-enter the atmosphere, all without like loading or anything. It looks really interesting from the teaser, but the only thing I'm worried about is the teaser video trailer was very slow paced. So I'm fine with that when you're on the ground and doing maybe their discovery or whatever they're talking about there. But once you get up into fucking an X-Wing style flight shooting, that needs to be faster paced. Just my thoughts. Because, I mean, you're flying around in a spaceship in a, like, dogfights are a lot faster paced than what they showed. So I don't know. I'm interested, but I'm wary. That's where I can get with that. Next game here that I got is Let It Die. It's a very gruesome looking third person game. Like, it looks like third person over the shoulder. They didn't show a lot of the actual gameplay. Like, there was little cuts of it within their CG animated video that they had. It looks like Manhunt with RPG elements. Because in the trailer there was like damage numbers whenever they struck, and you could get gear and loot and all that, it looked like. So the Manhunt fan in me is very intrigued. The rest of it, it's kind of like, I want more information. That's what it is. Did you see the trailer for it?
Yeah, I kind of want to know a little bit more before I say anything more about it.
It looks interesting. Mostly for the blood and gore. Far Cry 4. It looks like Far Cry. It's multiplayer co-op.
But it looks really fun, though. I mean, I was actually pleasantly surprised by how much fun Far Cry 3 was. Although, I'm hoping with Far Cry 4, I'm really hoping... You know what? You know what I would have much rathered had than say, Far Cry 4? A full-fledged Far Cry Blood Dragon game. Because that game was retarded fun and had no right being as good as it was. I mean, bring back Michael Biehn, get Chuck Norris as a voice. I mean, basically, make it the Expendables of video games and pull in all these... Get, like, Udo Kier to come in and be, like, a bad guy, or fucking hire Alan Rickman. It'd be awesome to fight Hans Gruber. Or, like, I don't know, like, Peter Weller as, like, RoboCop or something. Either way, make it happen.
Yeah, so, I mean, Far Cry 4. It looks like another Far Cry game, which means it's probably going to be good. I'm not super excited whenever, like, a lot of these extra games, I'm not usually excited for them, because it's the same thing every year, just better. Which, I mean, that's cool. Probably get it, probably play it, but I can't hype it, because it's not different. Dead Island 2.
This was a really good trailer. Really fun, and I had, I think Aaron Paul was in this one too, actually, as like a voice. Looks fun. Actually, the director of this game follows me on Twitter, which is really weird. Because I'm like, man, this game looks really awesome. But then again, I know his PR person, and she's delightfully weird. She sends out the most fucked up press releases. To those of you in the gaming press, you know exactly who I'm talking about. When I say you get a weird press release from Deep Silver, you know exactly who it is. But they're always really entertaining reads.
The thing, I was not expecting a Dead Island 2 because the makers of Dead Island are also working on Dying Light.
Yeah, this
is another
game. Yeah, this is being done by the guys who did Spec Ops The Line. So, this will be interesting to see how this turns out. So, I'm excited.
Like, I don't know, Dead Island 2, I haven't seen any gameplay, so I'm wary of that one. But Dying Light, also being made by the makers of Dead Island, this one looks really fun. Because it's like, it's got all the Dead Island elements, but it's in a new kind of zombie survival thing. Where it's almost like... I don't even know how to explain it. It's a zombie survival game in the sense of... And it has, like, during daytime, they're a lot slower and sluggish. And then at nighttime, they go, like, fucking feral. And the game will have, like, what's the word for whenever the daylight cycle or day-night cycle is continuous, always happening? Don't know the word, but for that. Yeah, so it looks intriguing. For Dead Island 2, they showed a really cool trailer, but I mean, Dead Island 1 also had an amazing fucking trailer, and that had nothing to do with the game at all. Really. Anyway, on to the next ones. Grim Fandango. It's a remaster of the original.
Unexpected. Looking forward to it, because I didn't play the original.
Me either. But I am looking forward to it. I know Tiffany, she was all super excited, so I assume she played the original.
It's a Tim Schafer game, so it should be awesome.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat X. Not 10. It is actually Mortal Kombat X. if you've seen the trailer for this, I'll probably post it onto the Facebook group too. It looked fucking amazing. I mean, yeah, it's being created by the guys that did Justice.
NetherRealm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. When I saw the trailer and someone told me this is in-game graphics, I was like, no, no way. But it is. So, it looks fucking awesome. With this Mortal Kombat, they're actually introducing a lot of new characters and bringing back other characters. But it's not just going to be the original characters. So there's Cassie Cage is going to be a new character, which is Johnny Cage and what's her name?
Is that his
their daughter? No, it's his daughter.
Sonya Blade, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was Sonya.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I was watching an interview about the new characters and stuff. And the interviewer asked the developer, will she be able to punch people in the dick? And he's like, yeah. So,
Dick punching confirmed.
Dick punching confirmed. So that's an instant buy. It looks really beautiful. Like, fucking amazing graphics. But, I mean, that's next gen. I'm expecting this kind of stuff, so keep it up. It has some of the elements brought in from Injustice, which, interactable objects that you can throw at the enemies, smash them off of things. It's Mortal Kombat. True Mortal Kombat fashion, not Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. That was horrible.
See, I didn't mind that game, but, yeah, it was a little too
watered. It's not a Mortal Kombat game. That's what my issue was. There was not enough blood and fatalities. I wanted to see Superman's head be ripped off, and they signed a contract saying they wouldn't do that. That was the issue. I just read the same freaking game. I'm sick. Forgive me. Batman Arkham Knight. It's got badass-looking Batmobile, man. There's going to be Batmobile takedown, so you'll actually be able to, like, beat the crap out of a guy and then have the Batmobile taser him.
You know what sucks? I'm actually not really excited for this game.
And well, it's being made by the guys that did the first two.
Rocksteady, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's another Batman game to me. And that kind of sucks to be able to say that I was a little burned out after Origins.
Well, I mean, it comes with having the same game over and over and over. But I think they said that this might be the last one.
I think so.
Anyway, from what I saw in some interviews, this game is going to be 20 times bigger than Arkham Asylum, size-wise, I guess, and roaming area. 5 times bigger than City was. So there's going to be, like, a new glide suit and stuff and the Batmobile to be able to traverse the city a lot easier. They're also introducing fear takedowns, which I guess you scare the shit out of them. Maybe they shit their pants. I don't know. But yeah, it's made by Rocksteady, so if anyone did not like... What was the most recent one?
For what?
The most recent Batman. It wasn't Origins. Made by Rocksteady. Yeah, if you didn't like Origins...
I think it was Eidos Montreal, wasn't it?
I don't know. But if you didn't like that one... And you liked the first two, this one is made by the same guys that did that. So, up next, Uncharted 4. They showed a very short teaser. It's Uncharted, Nathan Drake.
Which means it'll be good, it'll be fun, it'll probably be groundbreaking in some shape or form, but you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, we can't really hype it up because it's already got its own hype.
Yeah.
The Order 1886... It's.
I didn't think it was going to be as survival horror-y as I was led to believe. Still looks cool though. I'm interested.
Yeah, it's got like a old but also high tech third person shooter, paranormal hunter, steampunkish kind of feel to it. Is what it seems like. Looks good. I mean, there's nothing really in it that made me go, "Oh my god, I have to play this game over all these other ones," though.
Yeah, there's nothing that's going to make me. Go to EB as soon as this is over and place a pre-order down.
Yeah.
I'll play it, sure. And that's about all you can expect.
Within, though, there's a game called The Evil Within. It's going to be for Xbox One, PS4, Xbox 360, and PS3. It's a true survival horror game. Like, it looks like a classic Resident Evil. This hasn't happened in a while, as far as I know. I haven't seen any games that are like this. It looks awesome. It's got RPG elements added in for upgrading your character's stats and abilities, so he like gets to inject himself with something or whatever that ups his, so you can up his strength, up his accuracy with specific weapons, so his skills. It actually looks scary. Like, it looks like a true survival horror game. So I'm excited for that, the fact that one of those kind of games has come back. But that being said, I probably won't play it because I'm a little sissy. I can never get too far in those games because I just... like, when I play them the true way. At night, pitch black, sound turned up, surround sound, so you actually get fucking scared. So I have a hard time playing them because of that. Because I won't play them any other way. Otherwise, you're just not doing it justice. Are you excited for this one?
I just want to shoot things. All the things. But yeah, this one looks really cool. I think it's done by the guy who did Resident Evil, Mikami, isn't it?
I didn't
Shinji see Mikami? I want to say yes. I think this is being put up by Bethesda. Which means if it is, it'll ship with bugs. And that sucks. But they'll fix it.
Oh, they yay.
They fixed Skyrim, so... for the most part.
Depends on your definition of fixed. Oh, boy. Anyway, next on Rollers of the Realm for the PlayStation Vita, it's pinball meets RPG adventure. Very odd concept.
Interesting.
But, I mean, if you're into that idea, go for it. That's really all the information I have on it. Metal Gear Solid 5. The cardboard box is back, and it's customizable. You can actually customize
just
it.
Just give me a release date! Just saying. Just now!
This is the translation for Dodd is, take my fucking money!
Exactly.
So you can pop out of the top of the box and actually like do special attacks and stuff via that. It's going to be an open-ended game where you tackle the situation whatever way you want. Everybody knows most of that anyway. If you don't, you know, go check out some of the trailers and stuff. But yeah, the cardboard box is back and it's customizable, so I think that's fucking hilarious. Homefront the Revolution, it's open world crafting, has war,
so
yeah.
It's Far Cry but with it's basically Far Cry but set in the Homefront universe,
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, Homefront, another game of Homefront, and it's got crafting and open world.
Yet another THQ franchise that has been resurrected from the grave.
Yeah. Anyway, Abe's Odyssey. It is going to be PlayStation 4 only, I believe, and it's a remake of the original, but with new stuff and experiences. Apparently, the creators of Abe's Odyssey, they didn't have the money to make a brand new Abe game, so they decided we'll remake the original, but like give it a true remake, like not just a true remake, but add in some cool stuff.
So kind of like games. Halo, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really good, and from listening to him talk about making the game, you can tell that there's a lot of love there. So the game should be good because they put effort and time into their baby kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And if it sells well, we might see another Abe game. In theory, because if they can get the money, they'll make a full game. That's really all I can say about it. If you haven't played Abe's Odyssey in the past, it's a side-scrolling kind of puzzles, and you're trying to... like, if the gameplay really makes you feel for the character Abe. He's kind of like a slave guy that you're trying to get him free. Anyway, next game, Not a Hero. It's a 2D cover-based shoot-em-up with pixel graphics. Looks fun. I hope it doesn't cost too much. Because, I mean, it's got great concepts for mechanics, but, I mean, it looks like an arcade game, so hopefully it's in the arcade lineup and they're not like, hey, it's $70 price tag, because then it won't sell. Because it... I don't know. It looks okay. I mean, I'm not too excited for it, I guess, is the issue. And... clearly you're not either, because you're not even talking. Battlefield Hardline.
This looks really fun!
This is how I perk him up. I spaced it out so that there was like games that were not too exciting.
Boring, fun.
Yay. So for anyone familiar with the Payday franchise and the Battlefield franchise, it's like a combination of the two. So it's like the concepts of Payday, where you can do heists if you're the bad guys, and if you're the good guy, well, not, I guess it's not even bad and good. It's cops versus robbers, but in the Battlefield engine. So it plays like Battlefield, but it has those concepts where you're trying to run from the cops after stealing shit, I guess. I don't know. It looks really cool. I mean, you're either performing heists or you're stopping them as one team or the other. I don't know what the single player is going to be like. I assume you're going to play as the guys doing the heists. Maybe, maybe not. It might jump back and forth. I don't know. It's a really interesting concept. I did not see this coming. Because, I mean, Battlefield's always been about war, not cops and robbers. So, I don't know. I'm excited. I'll definitely pick that up.
It looks really cool. This is actually a game I actually might actually pre-order. I want the extra crap that comes with it. But, yeah, it looks fun. I'm curious to see what the single-player storyline is going to be like. But I guess we'll wait and see.
And the Sony list is a little bit smaller than the Microsoft list, but most of them were all cross-platform on the Microsoft list anyway. And so I saved the two, well, not best, but two really good ones for last year, too. Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. It's going to be for all of the consoles minus the Wii U. Sorry, Wii U, you don't get that stuff. Anyway, it's storyline-wise, in between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, it's going to be a standalone story that kind of enhances the other two. You seem to be playing a character with wraith powers. I don't know the entire background behind that. Your fan's in the way again, by the way.
Sorry.
So the way you play changes the game. So you'll be able to hunt down enemies. Like, you're in Mordor, killing orcs and stuff. Like, I don't know the entire concept behind it. Like, it almost seems like some sort of vendetta where you're a wraith, but also human. Like, you're a human with wraith power. So I don't entirely understand yet. But you can hunt down orcs. You can convert them with your wraith powers to, like, serve you. You can send that orc then to go and try to kill his commander or kill another commander, and then they rank up because, you know, they've killed the, like, it's orc society, so you kill the guy stronger than you, you become that role. It's very interesting. I mean, it's got a lot of RPG mechanics. It's a third person RPG kind of style, hack and slash, but it also has like a Batman-esque counter system in it. It's got stealth kills. You can use ranged bow attacks. It's got a pseudo parkour system, kind of like Assassin's Creed, but not nearly as in depth as Assassin's Creed. So you can like scale walls. You can mount those crazy dog things that the orcs use.
Oh,
so, take them over with your power, but you can mount
the wargs or whatever I think they're called.
Yeah, that might be what they are. It's like an open world concept inside the Mordor, so it's mostly orcs and stuff. Apparently, you're going to be able to see characters from the universe, but they're not going to be like related directly to the story. They'll be like side little things. Large scale battles, so like you can take over your own army worth of orcs and have them attack others, and the game apparently is going to learn from your actions. So, like, if you say, go and attack this peasant orc, and he manages to kill you, when you're dead, rather than it taking you back to a checkpoint, you are actually dead and reviving. So, in the time that you're reviving, like, it'll obviously be instant, but in the time that passed when you were reviving, that orc, now having killed you, will up in his rank because he's seen as a hero for killing you. So you can then have a vendetta against him and go and try to track him down and kill him now as like a commander rather than a peasant orc. So really cool idea. And this is the first time that I've been excited for a Lord of the Rings game. Because it you don't see it as like a movie-based game. It's actually a game built as a game within that universe kind of thing. So I'm hoping for more information about this game. It's going to have a single-player only campaign. But whenever you have one of those vendettas, like if you die, that can actually be put into a friend's game. So like on your friends list, they might get a vendetta saying like, this asshole or killed your friend, you can go kill him now. There's going to be a horde mode kind of thing with single player. It's going to be single player only though with leaderboard. So it's very single player. It seems like there's no multiplayer to it, but I mean, for the amount of content that I've seen, I think it's going to be well worth it. What are your thoughts? You like Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, but I've never been a huge fan of the games except for, you know, the Lego ones. And I think I'm actually missing the last one. I'm not sure. Either way.
Well, that's just it. I've not liked any of the games, but this one actually looked like it. Did you see the trailer? Or any? Well, actually, I don't think there was a trailer. Did you see the gameplay? Like, because yeah. I don't think it was at the booth.
Yeah.
At the conference.
It's one of those games. It just it's not grabbing me just because I have an interest in the property, but not the game, so to speak. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think we need to see more info about it for you to be grabbed. Really,
a friend of mine, Tawny, really wants me to get this game for. So I'm curious to see if it'll be halfway decent. So I don't know. I'm hoping.
I mean, I dug really deep to get all that info and actually be like, I actually like the idea of this.
The Vendetta system sounds interesting. I like the sound of that, actually.
Yeah.
But once again, I want to see more before I commit. And I think this game comes out, I think, in October, October 7th. So it's going to be the day of the pre-orders. Yeah. Because there's a bunch of big games coming out on that particular day, so.
Oh, okay. Then it might get overlooked. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, because it comes out the same day as Alien Isolation.
Which is the last game we were about to talk about.
Which looks, oh my god!
I saved it for last week because you're such an Alien fan and you're so disappointed with the last game. In fact, I think it was your words that you said, I hope they don't touch the Alien franchise for a long fucking time because of this, and just let all the bad press die down before they do it again. And then they come out with this game.
You bastards. Although this game looks fucking awesome. I like the fact that you're not some armored space marine. You're literally you're actually Ripley's daughter hiding from this thing. You can hide in closets and under the floor so this thing can't see you and fight. It looks really impressive.
Yeah, it's an extremist survival horror game. So it's not like, hey, I have a gun and I can take down the alien. No, it's a fucking hide. For your life.
I mean, you have a gun, but all you may do is piss off the alien.
Yeah, you have limited ammo. I honestly think the guns are really just there for the other humans and stuff that you might encounter. Because some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them are neutral. Same with the synthetics that you'll find. The game's environment, like, it looks terrifying because you're on, I guess, one of the spaceships or something, or maybe a space station. And shit has hit the fan, clearly. So you've got, kind of like in the movies, all the lights and stuff
are flickering,
and the alarm light is fucking spinning around. But mostly everything is dark, so it's gives a very good fearful atmosphere. So this might redeem the fact that the last Alien game was so bad.
I thought the DLC, the last piece where it explains what happened to Hicks, was at least they tried to redeem it. Failed miserably, but at least they tried.
Yeah, maybe.
But still.
Anyway, this actually looks like a really good Alien game. I mean, it's not going to run and gun Alien game, but it looks like it's going to be true to the original movies kind of style, where it's about fear, not just an action kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So anyway, that's pretty much the list of all the games that I saw at E3. There might be the odd one that I missed. I mean,
I know we didn't talk about Forza Horizon 2.
Oh, right.
And do I care? Not really.
It's another Forza game. It's going to look fucking beautiful.
And unless you're into... Although, I think Forza Horizon's a little bit more arcadey, not by much.
I don't know. Like, if you like Forza, there's another Forza.
I like the Forza games, but I don't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks, but it's just I'm the least manly man when it comes to cars. As far as I know, cars run on magic.
Wow.
But they still look impressive. One of the things that's always impressed me about the Forza series is the sound design. Because all those engines sound different.
Everything about their sound design and visual design is always phenomenal. But it's, for us, we're not that huge into racing and cars and stuff. So it's, that's why I actually probably overlooked it in the list. I didn't even think about it. Because I probably heard Forza whatever number. And it's like, yay, another Forza. And I probably just didn't even write it down. Anyway, if you like Forza, though, it's like every other Forza in the fact that it's going to be phenomenal graphics, great audio design, and I don't know what the gameplay really is, but more of what you expect.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that really kind of stands out to me as something we missed. Well, I guess there was Star Wars Battlefront. That looks really, really, really cool.
That was at E3?
Yep, and everything they showed was in-engine. So,
oh, shit.
That's going to be awesome when that comes out. When long way down the road.
That must have been in the
it was EA in the press conference. Yeah.
See, I didn't watch the individual press conferences, so I might have missed a couple games. Sorry, guys. Especially for Battlefront, I'm definitely sorry for not realizing that one.
They also didn't. They showed concept stuff for Mass Effect 4. Show me at least a 15-second teaser trailer, or don't fucking bother.
Yeah, really.
I mean, show me at least who the new... Give me an idea when this happens, is what I'd like to know.
Prequel.
I'm saying it's either going to be prequel or 500 years in the future. That's
500?
That's my guess. 500 to 1,000 years in the future. And it won't be... There will be no Reapers anymore. It'll be something weird, but hopefully it'll be cool. I'm looking forward to it when they announce more about it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I would have really, really would have liked to have seen. I kind of wonder... I would
like to see some Final Fantasy 15 fucking stuff.
I'm surprised they didn't show off a new Ninja Turtles game, because the movie comes out in August, actually.
Maybe they're actually going to just not bother with it.
I think we'll get something for it. I wouldn't be against it. See, as of this recording, which is today, the 18th of June, I saw the look of the new Shredder, like him in his full armor moving around and shit. I think it looks cool, but everyone else is like, oh my god! I don't know,
People just like to complain.
Oh my god, you are so right, especially when it comes to this shit. And you know what, we're not alone in that, because we've done it too.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, I mean, ultimately, I think this was a really good E3. Really, really good. Lots of solid titles for every system.
I think it was an amazing E3. It's probably been the best one in 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, they finally brought the damn games.
Yeah, and there was no... One of the things I was so happy is that Microsoft came right out and said there is no new hardware announcement.
Which is good.
And good. Sony says they're going to bring over Vita TV.
Which a lot of people have been excited for, so...
I think that'll be fun. Although I'm not sure what games I'd really play on it.
How about we do this just as our wrap-up? What is your most anticipated game for each company? One for Nintendo, one for Microsoft, and one for Sony.
Nintendo should be a no-fucking-brainer.
You want Pokemon Art Academy, right?
Yes, day one, money confirmed. I definitely say Brawl. I really hope they iron out the problems that they're having with it. Smash Brothers, whatever.
Yeah, Super Smash Bros. U, I think is what it's actual title.
For Sony, actually The Last of Us remaster for me. I've already placed half my pre-order.
Oh, we didn't have that on the list either. I forgot they're remastering it. I didn't really put that in because it was like, they're remastering it, what, a year after it came out?
A year and a little bit, yeah, not by much. But they're adding in all the DLC from it and all the multiplayer crap, so maybe I'll actually play it now. What else? For Microsoft, it's a tie between Sunset Overdrive and that anime game. The one that Ori or something.
Oh, Ori in the Blind Forest.
Yeah, that looks amazing. Honestly, if I had to pick a hype one though, Battlefield.
Battlefield Hardline?
Yeah, it looks really fun.
I'm going to agree with you for Nintendo Super Smash Bros. I'm really excited for Zelda, though, but I mean, it was only a teaser, so I don't know when that's even going to come out. It might not be till 2016, for all we know. For Microsoft, I'm very excited to see more about Evolve, because as far as I know, I may have one best at E3, or like most anticipated at E3. Obviously, I'm excited for the Master Chief Collection, though, because I'm a Halo nut job. And for Sony, I think I'm most excited for The Evil Within, actually. Even though I am scared to play it. All in all, really good E3 this year. Fucking fantastic. I hope they do it like this next year as well. Nintendo had a lot of comedy, humor, etc. They had fucking the guys from Robot Chicken do some skits for their shit. So, Microsoft and Sony's... Microsoft finally brought Just Games. Sony kind of backpedaled and threw in some stuff about their videos and blah, blah, blah. Nobody really cared, so... That being said, everybody did a great job this year.
Yeah, fantastic. I couldn't think of a better E3, so... What are we going to be talking about on our next show?
I believe we're going to be doing Zelda. So, we're doing the Zelda game, Zelda universe, and with that, we might hopefully find some more information about the new Zeldas, and we'll talk about that maybe near the end.
And as a special extra thing, we're actually going to be giving away a copy of Zelda HD The Wind Waker on the Wii U.
Yeah, so you definitely want to stay tuned for that one. I'm not sure when in the episode we're going to give that code out.
We'll probably announce it at the beginning. We'll tell you what you have to do or something. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure out a little contest or something.
So, anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for us. So, for the prototype, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I have been Jamie J.J. Johnston with a side of skull.
You're walking in the woods. There's no one around, and your phone is dead. Out of the corner of your eye, you spot him. He's following you, about 30 feet back. He gets down on all fours and breaks into a sprint. He's gaining on you.
Shia LaBeouf.
You're looking for your car, but you're all turned around. He's almost upon you now, and you can see there's blood on his face. My God, there's blood everywhere.
Running for your life
from Shia LaBeouf.
He's brandishing a knife.
It's Shia LaBeouf.
Lurking in the shadows. Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf. Living in the woods.
Shia LaBeouf.
Killing for sport.
Shia LaBeouf.
Eating all the bodies. Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Now it's dark and you seem to have lost him, but you're hopelessly lost yourself. Stranded with a murderer, you creep silently through the underbrush. Aha! In the distance, a small cottage with a light on. Hope. You move stealthily toward it, but your leg, it's caught in a bear trap.
gnawing off your leg.
Quiet, quiet.
Limping to the cottage.
Quiet, quiet.
Now you're on the doorstep. Sitting inside, Shia LaBeouf, sharpening an axe.
Shia LaBeouf,
but he doesn't hear you enter.
Shia LaBeouf,
you're sneaking up behind him. Strangling superstar Shia LaBeouf, fighting for your life with Shia LaBeouf. Wrestling a knife from Shia LaBeouf, stab it in his kidney. Safe at last from Shia LaBeouf.
You limp into the dark woods, blood oozing from your stump leg. But you've won. You have beaten Shia LaBeouf.